Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I've been saying that Brian Thomas is the actualized version of what people wanted Christian Watson to be. Like, I see all of the same pluses and not a lot of the minuses in those profiles. So Brian Thomas is got more flexibility, more elusiveness in the open field than you probably think from this sort of vertical X receiver archetype.
That is Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, The Draft. At least we all, at this point, know it's ridiculous, but we love it for it being ridiculous. Doesn't Brian Thomas Jr. have a bad yards per route run? Or yards per target? He has a bad yards per target or yards per route run, but he has a good yards per target over expectation. Like,
he is an amazing, yeah, he's like number one in the class.
He's number one in the class in yards per target over expectation.
Right.
All right. It's wild. Like,
I do think yards per route run, I think he's a little bit more closer to the middle. Mitchell is the one that's like way at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'll double check that. But I think I remember Thomas being a little higher.
Yeah. Yards per route run, whatever. Like, they're not all coming from the same offense. Sometimes there's fancy stats to say something, but, you know, they're scouting players. But yeah, Scott Barrett just pointing out number one in the league in yards per target over expectation. What does that mean? I don't know. It means he's probably pretty good. Brian Thomas Jr. Jeremy and Joe, we've got a draft party coming up. We'll be telling you about it for weeks. Join us, please. We're going to need a crew of train riders.
Wear your train hat.
The official
conductor's hat.
Wait till you see the hat I've got coming. Wait till you see this
You've
hat.
You've got a hat coming?
I ordered a hat yesterday.
Is it like the engineer's hat?
I went a little bit of a different direction.
Okay.
Wait till you see this hat I've got. I hope to have it next week. We're also getting the wide receiver train big board. You know, like a real honest to goodness. Like we're game show hosts. We're going to be putting names on a board and peeling them off when they get picked. April 25th, Resurgence Brewing Company will be there for the draft party. All-inclusive ticket. I tweeted out the link to that. So please join us if you can on draft night.
Beer, well drinks, food.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
For a four-hour draft party, too. That's the thing about the draft. It's longer than
it's an investment.
You know,
it's longer than a game.
God forbid the Sabres someday get back in the playoffs. You can have a playoff watch party. How long does that last? Usually like 2.5 hours, give or take.
Yeah.
Like this might be like a 4-hour shindig. Let's go.
Let's go. We'll be there for that. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, we're going to play Guess the Prospect today. Updates from the Masters. Max Homa's to -6.
Making a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
He's still in his first round, too.
Yeah.
He was the last I checked. I don't think he's done yet. Homa at the moment, 6 under. Yeah, he's on 18 right now.
Hogarth, I think, is -5.
Yes.
Here's a funny stat about Homa. He's about to put or tie for the lowest round ever with Tiger Woods. In the same group.
At the Masters?
I think so.
At the Masters?
Yeah.
If he birdies, he'll get a 65. If he pars, he'll be a 66 for the day.
Good for Homa.
Yeah.
I like him.
He is a riser in the golf world in the last couple of years.
Yes.
I don't know. Some of these guys, though, I always think like are up-and-comers, and they're older than you think they are. Yeah, Homa is the guy for that. Like, how old do you think Max Homa is?
He looks like he's 27.
Okay. And he is kind of fresh on the scene, like, what, 2-3 years? Maybe. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, he's like 25, 26 years old, right? He's 33. Like, he's 33. which I guess by golf standards is not old by any means. But he has not won a major. He has a top 10, I know, at the British. So him winning would be very cool.
Yeah, it would. Good.
He's very good on like podcasts and whatnot. I've listened to him a lot. He's super interesting.
He's one of these guys that makes golf very approachable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, to that point, Tiger, at his peak of his powers, was a killer, right? It was like just so dialed and focused, and maybe a credit to how good he was. He was his caddy throwing someone's camera into a lake. Like, he was... The idea of making Tiger mad on the golf course was something you'd be terrified of. Yeah. He made the game... He opened the game for so many people that started to watch it and appreciate it. But in terms of like approachability, I don't know about that. Yeah. When he was so, so laser focused.
Speaking of guys that don't seem approachable right now, so Jordan Spieth missed a like 5-foot par putt on his last hole and was like, and Spieth gets this way, right?
Yep.
Not happy. No. Not happy at all as he walked away. And I just saw a tweet from 1 minute ago that reads, Spieth about to make a all caps massive number at the 15th. So he's not on TV right now. I don't know what is happening on the 15th hole, but Spieth is like unraveling.
He's going to shoot a 62 today.
He missed the hole on a putt or a chip or something, and I just watched the ball as it's rolling off the hole, down the hill, into the water.
Oh, he putt off the green.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it was a putt or a chip, but
still.
Regardless, it went past the hole and off the green, off the fairway, or off the rough, whatever you want to call it, into the water.
Yep.
That's tough.
Happens to the best of us.
He'll shoot a second round 62. Get ready. That's Spieth. That's what he does. That's Spieth. 803-0550. Get some more calls in on this. Rob in Connecticut, as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for always making my mornings and being my eyes, and which I wish I could be there for the draft party. And a suggestion, Jeremy, why don't you bring a nice big bounce house down there for you? Bouncy house, so you can guys jump around in it when we get what we get. You know, you guys were talking about players that broke your heart. Of course, I'm 59 years old. It broke my heart to see what happened with OJ. I got to experience watching him when I was a kid. But Brett Favre, you know, he gained a lot of respect. He gained a lot of respect. I did. When he played out of his mind the day he threw for a lot of yards when his dad had passed away, and then he went and did what he did, it was heartbreaking. You know, I loved Brett Favre, absolutely loved him, and now he broke my heart. Yeah. So wish I could be there for the draft. Good luck to us. You know, the suspense is killing me.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for making my morning. Going in for knee surgery at 1:15 today, guys. So, wish me luck.
You gonna be back by training camp, Rob? What's the timeline on recovery here?
I'll be back by the beginning of the season.
All right, good to know. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, Favre. For those that don't know, like, in case, because this story didn't get as much publicity as maybe as it should have. He stole money from poor people in Mississippi. And the latest update on that is that the Mississippi state is demanding that he pays like $700,000 back to the welfare accounts that he basically stole from. So, yeah. Favre's a good one for that, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a good one.
Of like someone that you love that you
you
had to abandon because like, oh, I can't like that person anymore.
It would be one of those 0506 guys. Like those are my sports idols growing up. That's the team. It's the only team I got really for that. So like Briere and Drury and like, you know, it kind of makes me a little sad that Drury just has never been back, ever talked about that team, just doesn't care about it, but whatever. You know, Miller and Vanek and those guys, like Vanek had a weird thing with like gambling at one point, but like nothing about any of those guys. No Bills that I can remember that were like beloved during the drought. So, yeah, I don't really have the thing for that.
Was Tiger ever close with like all the scandal stuff?
That's a good thought.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's not.
I
like,
don't know,
he's
though.
Not like local though, so it's also kind of hard to like look at that.
Wasn't Tiger's scandals though? Like, didn't that almost humanize him more? The guy was like so immortal as a golfer before that, you know, how relatable was he? He was awesome to root for, but like I've heard Bulldog talk about him this way. Like Bulldog did not like Tiger when he was at his peak, but then when he went through a divorce and he went through a car accident and his body breaking down and his back was hurting all the time, like he just became, he became more of a human, I guess.
I can understand that.
So I've never turned on Tiger in that way at all.
Mickelson has been a fan favorite for a long time and was at his most recent major win as well.
Absolutely.
And then that has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, that definitely is right. And that was not even that long ago. He won the PGA Championship, right? It's not like he was on the scene a year before all of that stuff started happening with the Saudis. He was like, he won a major like the year before all of that happened. So Mickelson's very good for that because he's invisible now. He doesn't exist anymore. Like he's on a tour that I'm never going to watch. It's on YouTube or the CW. Just I'm never going to go find it. And these majors, I mean, he's at an age now where he's not supposed to contend anyway, but I never hear from Mickelson anymore. I don't think about Mickelson anymore. And there was a point where right there with Tiger, he was my favorite golfer.
Spieth got a 9.
Oh.
He got a 9.
A 9.
Tiger once got a 10 on a par 3 and made the cut at the Masters.
A 10 on a par 3?
Yes.
Because Spieth was on a par...
par 5.
5, okay. Tiger got a 10 on a par 3?
Yes.
What, he hit in the water like 3 times? He must have.
Which hole was it? 12th hole.
Man, Sam Burns just posted an 80. There's some big scores out there. No, that's wild. I did not know that. I would have thought Tiger never had in any round ever a score of double digits.
You want to talk about the most relatable thing, because like, you're laying out Tiger there. The most relatable thing golfers can do is just be going along and having a day and then drop a 10.
And just implode, yeah.
Or a 9.
Right.
And if you've ever played golf, the primary, at least what I feel in that moment, is why don't I just go home right now?
Right.
10? Like if we've got to write a 10 on this card, and if you're Jordan Spieth, 10. Yeah, I'm looking at Tiger's 10 on the par 3. He did hit it in the water multiple times. Yeah. Anyway, guess the prospect after we get to Zach in Cheektowaga. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks, Zach.
So I just wanted one hometown player that kind of fell off my eyes would be Jack Eichel, obviously. I mean, he was supposed to come in, be the guy for us, and then with all that happened, him leaving and stuff, kind of fell off. And then like a national player that kind of fell off my eyes would be like Mike Vick. Obviously,
that's
I
very good.
Him growing up.
Yeah.
And then what happened with him kind of ruined it in my eyes. So. Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Zach. Vic's a good one.
I'm glad you said him because that did not come to the forefront of my mind, and that's got to be my answer. I mean, I had Mike Vick's jersey when he was a Falcon.
And then it was just over.
Yeah, we threw out the jersey. Like, you murdered dog. Like, no, you're done. So, and like the video game too, like Madden 2004, like just, yeah, Vick is a really good one. Eichel's like a different category. Right?
Yeah,
that's not you found out who the human being was and no one liked what they saw. That is like internal within the sport.
Well,
right.
Let's not undersell his comments after their game here, where he talked about how it's loud as it's ever been. Like he had a chance to take the high road, and fans, you know, I feel like a lot of fans would have defended him through a good portion of that, and then that happened, and it was like, all right, well, forget you,
right. No, like he
burned the bridge, and maybe you were someone that would have defended him through all of it. And as soon as he did that, it's like, all right, well, I'm done doing that. What am I, you know,
right.
Why am I bending over backwards trying to defend you if you're just going to take shots?
Well, because it had not been that poisonous before that. I know he got booed during the game, but the way I took that day in before he said that, after that Sabres Golden Knights game, he was cordial about it all. He was talking to the media before that game, talking about how he was upset that he didn't win for RJ for instance. Like, Eichel was talking about RJ up there before the game happened. And then the game happened, and fans do what they do. Yeah. They booed him, which I thought was completely fair. It's hockey. You know, what do you expect? And what I remember being in that arena that night is when that tribute video went up on the board, that when it was time to show him some amount of respect, the fans did it. It wasn't an ovation, but fans clapped, and it wasn't booing when the video was happening. When it was time to show respect, I felt like on some level that happened. And then the game went the way it did, and then Eichel said what he did, and now there's no turning back.
Yeah. And then he came here and had a hat trick.
And, yeah.
And he also won the cup.
Yeah, he did.
Whatever.
He won everything after that. Yeah.
803-0550. Richard in San Antonio then guessed the prospect. Hey, Richard.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good talking to you guys. Quick about the receiver or the player that fell out of favor. How do you guys feel about Michael Vick now?
Yep.
Does he, you know, he had his scandal. He was excellent everywhere. I thought he was going to be one of the greatest all time. I still, you know, he changed the game. But he had a scandal, came back. So I don't know if he's on par with what you guys are talking about with OJ and Lance Armstrong, and if he came back to favor. And real quick on the receiver train, I really feel Leggett, when I seen him run at the combine, run across the middle, do that drill where they throw the balls back and forth. That right there, that kind of solidified me. I love Leggett there and McConkey. I still think we need to get someone on the outside, like a someone that can stretch the field. Not stretch the field, but take plays away from coverages away from Dalton Kincaid and Shakir and whoever we're going to get underneath so we can actually play an honest defense. So those are my thoughts. If you can leave me on hold, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll put you right on
Thanks,
hold.
Richard. Yeah.
I've liked the Leggett idea for a while. Like,
yeah.
First time seeing him, ooh, that looks like the kind of guy the Bills could use. This is, you know, when they still had Diggs, the idea would be like, you don't have to lean on him that much. To me, he looks like a upgraded version of Gabe Davis. And, you know, Gabe Davis is making, what, $13 million in the league? Like, Davis is a player. Mm-hmm. An upgraded version of him, something we'd sought for a while. So, yeah, I like the Leggett idea a lot. And this is something we talked about with Joe Marino. Joe Marino has Leggett as his wide receiver 4. Ahead of mm-hmm. Brian Thomas Jr. He had 33 catches for 15 yards or more, Leggett did this year. I'm watching an underdog football breakdown with Josh Norris and Hayden Winks. And they talk about Leggett as someone unlike anything we've seen before. Like, he's such a downfield threat.
Yeah.
Big, strong. Brett Coleman compares him to A.J. Brown's play style.
I've seen that comparison a bunch.
Marino point. We were asking Joe about red flags and, you know, okay, what are the problems with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze, he's compared to Devontae Adams, and neighbors, you don't get a lot of red flags. You don't get a lot of, well, this isn't right yet. He's got to work on this. Having things to work on is normal for any prospect, right? And with Leggett, you know, he's not a perfect prospect, but one of the knocks is, well, he only got good this year. And to me, that seems like, okay, so you tell me he's good. Sometimes yeah. It takes you a little longer to get to that spot. But once you do, are you being punished? If he had done it for 2 years, he would go 7th.
He would be out of range.
He would go 14th. Yeah. But because there's only 1 year of that production and, you know, maybe some limitations, I like the Leggett idea a lot, an awful lot, especially because it's one of the cheaper ideas. As a prospect running a 4.39,
yep,
at 6'1", 220.
Yards after catch, right, down the field.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice point. And, you know, he's one of the guys Alan mentioned by name on that podcast talking about receivers. He rattled off like the top 10 guys. But he talked about Leggett and even referenced his accent. He's got a Southern Carolina accent.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Richard. I like the Leggett idea a lot. Speaking of wide receiver draft prospects, shall we play Guess the Prospect quickly before the break?
All right.
A Friday edition?
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
Thinking of some receivers. 1999 and on? Had to be drafted.
All righty. When I was growing up in South Carolina, I worked on the skill of juggling at a very young age and began developing great hand-eye coordination skills.
Love it.
My 4 years of playing high school football, I tallied over 5,000 yards, which is good for second all-time in the receiving rankings of the National Federation of High School Sports.
Sports Illustrated profiled me along with future athletes like John Tavares in the Where Will They Be series.
Ooh.
I was also
if I just knew that. It's like, oh, I had that episode or I had that issue. It's so-and-so.
I was also compared to Randy Moss while in high school. When I was drafted by a team in the AFC, they also picked the quarterback that I would catch basically all of my passes from for the first 8 years of my career.
We're going to get this on the first clue.
Probably.
Is that the whole clue?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to talk it out and we're going to get this.
Okay.
Drafted the same year as the quarterback. The quarterback was drafted after him.
I will not say.
He will not say.
Okay. This is a very highly touted player. You put up those numbers in high school, you're going somewhere big. You get drafted the AFC. You spend 8 years with one quarterback who was also drafted the same year.
Yeah, who came in together?
Who came in together is a great question.
Lossman and Evans.
That's true.
I have a name in my head, but I don't think he fits for the previous thoughts of like big touted prospect.
And who's that?
T.Y. Hilton.
Did he come in the same year as Andrew Luck?
I thought so, but... But is he... What school is that?
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't think it's a big school. I kind of want to leave him at the side here for a moment.
What year was Roddy White drafted?
Well, just by looking at the Julio Jones comparison trade for the Bills, I know that Roddy White in 2011 was 31 years old. So
a really good career.
He would have came in before Matt Ryan, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. 8 years, same draft as the quarterback. Who did Stafford play with besides, that's not an AFC team.
Calvin
Johnson. We're doing AFC teams.
Right, AFC.
Baltimore.
Eight-year
starting quarterbacks. That's the key.
Okay, yeah.
Baltimore. Flacco. Who'd he throw for 8 years? Bills.
Torrey Smith.
Bills, nobody. Bengals.
Torrey Smith's on the Mike Wallace level of, I feel like Josh ain't going to him.
Browns, nobody. Broncos, drafted quarterback 8 years. Nobody.
Brandon Marshall, Jay
Texans.
Culler?
What's
That's not 8 years. Never mind. Go
Texans. Nobody, 8 years.
Nope.
Is Andrew Luck 8 years with the Colts? It's close.
When's he drafted?
2012.
He's not still playing in 2020, is he? He's not playing in the COVID year.
Okay.
He's getting booed by Colts fans as he walks off a preseason game.
Jags, 8 years.
No.
Mark Brunell?
That's too early, I think.
Chiefs drafted quarterback 8 years. Raiders drafted 8 years. Chargers. Rivers.
Rivers. Okay, hold on. Rivers with Vincent Jackson?
He played 8 years and he forced his way out and went to Tampa.
When?
I don't know, I feel like it was less than 8 years.
Yeah, okay. Is there another Chargers receiver? I don't think so, right? It's Gates. It's all Gates.
Yeah. Dolphins, 8 year quarterback. No.
Nope.
Patriots, Brady. Not going to be somebody there.
No. Nope.
Jets. Steelers with Roethlisberger.
Okay. Hines Ward? Is he before Roethlisberger? He's before Roethlisberger, isn't he?
Maybe.
Or is he not?
Santonio Holmes? Is he 8 years?
I don't think he's there that early, though. He's later.
You guys going to guess today? Or
easy.
Hold on a second. There's no shot clock in Guess the Prospect.
I mean, there's a segment clock. We're way out.
That's true.
Fine. Let's do the... I'm going to go, sure, Roethlisberger.
You named all the AFC teams?
Those are all the AFC teams. Eight-year starting quarterbacks would have been drafted the quarter, and a receiver got taken the same year. Santonio Holmes.
T.Y. Hilton.
Okay. While in college, I competed in the SEC for 3 years. I was a dog on the field my freshman year, leading
my team in
receiving yards, catching eight touchdown passes from a future first overall pick, and helped my
Stafford team
win 10 games that season, along with winning the Capital One Bowl over Michigan State. In the next two seasons, I was stuck with subpar quarterbacks, but continued to shine, leading my team in receiving yards. In 2010, I left the school for the NFL draft, and once I made it to the NFL, my skills transitioned early on as I recorded over 1,000 receiving yards in each of my first five seasons in the league.
Whoa. I got it.
You got it?
Yep. I know it. Yep.
I can finish it.
No, I'm 100% sure.
I think. Maybe 99.
AJ Green and Andy Dalton.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, we skipped right past the Bengals
and
he's definitely like
I saw yesterday a list of the top rated receiver prospects ever. That's Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And AJ Green was on that list.
Calvin Johnson,
Marvin Harrison Jr., and AJ Green was right there on that list.
Wow.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yep.
AJ Green.
Good one.
Yeah,
We were close. I mean,
skipped right past the Bengals, and I was like, there we go.
I know.
We got it.
I looked at the Bengals. I thought, like, Burrow hasn't been there long enough. And, of course, there was the quarterback right before for a long time was Dalton. Like, that would have landed it.
Man.
Good clues.
Yeah. He was roaring out of the gates. He is the epitome of, like, you want an example of a drop-off when a guy hit 30? Go look at AJ Green's career. That dude was the best or one of the best receivers in football from age 23 to 29, and then he turned 30 and just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
He also missed a whole season with an ankle injury, so.
Right.
There is that, too.
All right. Guess the prospect. Thank you. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Continue updating from the Masters. Tiger finishes his opening round bogeying 14 and 18. He is plus one. Tiger.
Right.
So plus one after the first round, on to round two now. For the Masters and for the guys that had to finish up their first round.
They're playing together again, these guys?
I believe
so.
In
a couple hours?
Yep.
Do you take the hat off and shake your hand when you're going to be playing together again in an hour?
I just want to hear him post-round interviews. Like, Tiger, you know, obviously dealing with a lot out there. Jason Day's outfits? was it a distraction?
That should be the first question.
Would you say the pants yesterday or the vest today? Yeah, which was the tougher thing to fight through?
Yeah, there's a billboard walking around following you around every hole. Look at this guy.
I think yesterday.
Look at this
I
guy.
I think yesterday's worse. I do think yesterday's.
No way.
I think yesterday's pants
no
are worse.
No way.
I do. Those pants are so bad. Tiger looks great. All right, Masters covered. This is our Masters coverage on WGR.
Pelicans hold on, driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy.
Yes.
It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out and I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
Kevin Harlan. He calls a random event at a game better than anybody. He also calls games better than almost everybody.
You need to protect him at all costs.
Love Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Vern Lundquist, his final Masters. Speaking of announcers.
Yep. He was making some comments, I guess, about Jason Day's clothing.
I think that was fake.
That one was fake. I saw another one that he did. He was the one who used the line that it looks like a billboard.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, there was a fake quote out there about how it's the worst one he's ever seen.
If you're Vern and it's your last Masters,
let it fly.
There's no rules.
Yeah. Start swearing.
I've done it for 40 years. I'm going to use the bikini wax about the greens. I'm going to say that. Got Gary McCord banned.
You're going to get banned from Augusta?
What, are you going to ban me? Just banned from the broadcast.
Can't he go back to Augusta every year?
I'm sure.
If you're letting Gene Steratore in, Vern's got a lifetime pass.
Yeah, we don't actually know that Gene Steratore is in. But yeah, I'd imagine true. Vern gets to go whenever he wants. Vern Lundquist, legend of the game. Of all the game, of college football. So, all right, you ready for a draft point we have not yet brought up?
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. This is interesting. It's a really good point. I want to thank the person who sent it to me. Actually came from my text club. Anyway, Andy tweeted me something. Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. So Jim Nagy runs the Senior Bowl and was asked a question about late round picks and values. And he said that this year's draft, that one of the things that's unique about it is we're still on the tail end of the COVID bloated classes where guys stayed an extra year. And there's a lot of different factors.
Okay.
But one of the things he pointed out was that after round three this year, there's a big drop off to 4, 5, 6, 7, more so than other years. And why is that? In part because of NIL. Like guys can get paid. You don't have to. Like the whole landscape is different.
That's right.
Let me pull up the quote here from Jim Nagy on this. Just that next year, the later rounds will be better than this year. Because next year is the bloated COVID class, and you might have guys that stayed for NIL deals this year coming out. Like, okay, now it's my time. You're not as desperate. Before NIL, even if you are like a second string linebacker on so-and-so team, you can get paid by a pizza place. And you could not be paid like that before. To eat pizzas, to do this, you've got some quarterbacks that are making more to stay in college than they would on their rookie deals in the NFL. That's at the very, very top end. Even the middle range guys, like, no, I can continue my education, I can make a little money on the side, I go to the draft next year, I don't have to rush. And I think that's an interesting note from Jim Nagy to point that out, that in terms of draft stock, here are the Bills with 10 picks, 8 of them in round 4 or later.
Yeah. Did Leggett, I'm going to use him as the example here because he played a fifth-year senior. Did he get that extra year of eligibility because of the COVID season?
I believe so.
Okay. It's worth mentioning with him. Like, if you work the hypothetical the other way, because you could say, obviously, if he had done what he did last year, the year before, then he would be a much higher pick, probably out of range of the Bills. Man, this happens to be a point about the draft. It's just about him personally. Look what that extra year of eligibility gets him. Because if he didn't have that, he would never get a look in the NFL, right? He would have ended his career with like 400 yards.
Yeah.
And
undrafted.
Undrafted, would have never got a look anywhere. But COVID happened. He got an extra look, got one more season of eligibility, put up 1,200 yards, and boom, now he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL or a second-round pick in the NFL.
It's fair.
Is that why Bean wanted a second next year for the Diggs trade?
It's fair. It's like it's development charts. We see this in hockey. Like, what's the phrase they use? D plus one or E plus one? Entry charting how guys break out in years 1, 2, 3, and there are analytical models that would say, like, well, it's too late for you. You're probably not going to be an elite player. And some guys break those models. I mean, Thompson did that in his 47-goal season. But, yeah, Leggett, that's the thing. Like, why would I ever hold it against him? It took him a little longer, and then he did have the breakout. Okay.
Right.
Better have that guy than this is a point about Michael Penix. So Michael Penix, check out his age.
Penix?
Yeah.
Let's see.
His age, this is about quarterbacks. His age and his number of his reps. With Penix, you get a guy that has played, he's already 23.
He'll be 24 at the start of the season.
Yeah, he'll be 24.
Yeah.
And he's played a lot. And that's one of the knocks is, like, hey, you're trying to forecast a guy's ceiling. If you've only put up 1 year of film, that could either mean the breakout has started, here it comes. It could also mean 1 year wonder. With Penix, what are you looking at?
He threw attempted 34 passes for Indiana in 2018.
He's been
six years he's played college football.
Six
to some degree.
Years.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're a scout looking at Michael Penix, you're looking at the same, like, I've seen everything he can do. He's right. been asked to do different.
He played college football against Josh Allen.
Wow.
Right?
Now,
no, wait, that's not right. Allen, he was drafted in 18, so Allen would have finished in 17.
Yeah.
So but he would play college football against, like, Justin Herbert.
So I'm thinking, is this a point about Luukkonen? Sometimes there's not actually enough work to see if a guy is a boom or a bust, yeah. and he needs to develop on the timeline, and for Luukkonen, that's gone well. Sometimes there's been so much development, the guy's played for so many years, you might as well just bag it. And who breaks out late? What quarterback breaks out late? Rich Gannon? Fitz?
Yeah.
So it's interesting about those development timelines, and for Leggett, to talk about him as a guy, well, it's only 1 year of production. Okay. Sounds great. I'm into it.
Brandon Whedon was a guy, right, that got drafted, and he was old. Wasn't he like 30?
Do you know who Chris Wenke is?
I know the name. He was Panthers, right?
Check out what how old Chris Wenke was.
Chris Wenke.
Was he older than Brandon Whedon?
Wasn't Brandon Whedon like 28, 29? Because he had baseball stuff. Chris Wenke. All right, let's see. He's currently the coordinator at Georgia Tech. He's 51 years old. He was drafted into the NFL in... Why does it not want to tell me? When was he drafted? 2001. Wait a minute. So that would mean he was 29 when he was drafted?
I think he was 28.
28?
The number I had in my head drafted? On Chris Wenke was 28.
28 when he was drafted. Yeah, fourth round pick. Whedon was a first round pick, though, at that age.
Yeah.
Was a first round pick at that age. Yeah, I'm looking back at like how long Michael Penix has been playing college football. Like, the first game that he played, like, Miles Sanders was on the other team, who's had like a running back career, like a sizable one now in the league.
Yeah. Wenke played baseball with the Blue Jays for a while, then went to Florida State.
It's baseball?
Yeah. He enrolled at age 25. That's when he enrolled. He was the oldest player to ever win the Heisman. He was 28.
That's crazy.
To win the Heisman.
That shouldn't even count.
It's like
this should be an age requirement.
That's like Panarin winning the Calder at 31. Was he 31 when he won the Calder?
It feels like he was 31. He might have been younger than that, but yeah. Jimmy Howard was like 28, 29 the year that Tyler Myers won it, and Howard finished second. Yeah.
Panarin won the Calder in 2016.
I don't think he was in his...
He was 25.
25, but still, he was still 6 years older than
some
of the guys that he was competing against.
Yeah.
Well, that's but isn't that one of the knocks on Leggett? Is one of the risks, at least, of... Oh, yeah, congratulations. You finally put up big numbers when you were going up against cornerbacks that were 4 years younger than you. Isn't that one of the risks that's talked about with him?
Speaking of Panarin, chalk him up to the it's not a bad idea to sign big free agents.
Oh, yeah.
7 years, $81.5 million. How many points he has this year?
Probably like 100.
117.
107. I thought it was going to be high when I said 100.
Meanwhile, Nikita Kucherov, quite a year he's had.
Yeah, what's he? Is he first in the NHL? I think
he
he's
has
first.
98 assists.
Wow. Two more assists to get to 100?
141 points.
They play the Sabres on Monday, so maybe that'll be... I had an idea for Let's Get Stupid about Alex Ovechkin from last night. Want to throw that in here real quick? It'll be 2 seconds.
Sure.
Yeah, Let's Get Stupid, Josh.
Wow. By the way, if Kucherov gets to a 100-assist season,
yeah,
I got to double-check this. I think it's only been done by three other players.
Gretzky. Lemieux.
Gretzky, Lemieux, and
Messier. McDavid did, didn't he?
Not 100 assists.
Adam Oates. No. Go to 100 assists. Did LaFontaine with McGillney?
No.
So,
all right, ready? Here's the list.
Bobby Orr.
These are the top. Yes, Bobby Orr's correct.
Bobby Orr. Okay.
McDavid had 99. Oh, sorry. He has 99.
Oh, McDavid. So two guys are going to do it this year?
Yeah. Here's the list of 100 assist seasons in the NHL. We'll make this the stat of the day.
Okay. Right, stat of the day is presented by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily.
Highest ranked single season assist totals. Gretzky, 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 Lemieux, Gretzky, 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 or McDavid, Kucherov.
Gretzky, man. Speaking of Gretzky, my let's get stupid idea. Thinking about the Capitals last night, I guess they might not make it now. They're 1 point out. Let's get stupid. Ovechkin should skip the Stanley Cup playoffs so that he can save all of his juice for regular season games next year where he breaks the record.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Skip the playoffs. What are you going to do in the playoffs? You're going to get run over in four games. Risking injury. Those goals don't count. It's basically the playoffs are Ovechkin's preseason from here on out.
It is kind of funny. What if he said, they don't count. These goals don't count.
Right. Skip it. Your career is only about the record now. Skip it.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Extendo Sports coming up in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
About a little instant trivia in Extendo Sports. It's been the week of the Arizona Coyotes leaving Arizona, which we fully expect. Everyone's reporting that it's going to happen. Instant trivia presented by The Farmer's Dog, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Give me the four Sabres from that 05-06 team that played for the Coyotes.
Neumannin.
Neumannin Briere. Was the captain.
Briere.
Briere, of course, they traded for. What other two?
05-06 that have ever played for the Coyotes?
Yeah.
Okay, Neumannin, Briere. Bum, 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 bum.
Was it Chris Gratton or Josh Gratton that was traded for
Briere? Chris Gratton, but he went
in the Briere trade. Yeah, he wasn't here. That would have later played for the Coyotes?
At any point,
yeah. Like, some of these are going to be fun. Like, did Aleš Kotalík ever go play for the Coyotes?
Oilers and Flames, I think, for Kotalík. And then got traded back to the Sabres in the Robin Regier trade, but I think
they
chose
sent him
to
Rochester.
So he went to Europe?
He went overseas, yeah.
Was it Doug Janik? Not Doug.
Nah, I would. Regular player.
Well, he did play that season.
Who?
Janik. He played in game seven.
The defenseman that
got
called up.
I don't have him, though, for this.
Nathan Paige ever play for the Coyotes?
No. The last two guys were like regular parts of the lineup.
Forward or defense?
Both.
Taylor Pyatt.
Taylor Pyatt is correct.
Went on to play. Oh, so now a defenseman. We're at Ludman, Talinder, not Campbell.
Kalinin. Taylor Pyatt had... I thought he had a big season for Arizona. Never mind. Who'd you guess?
We didn't guess. He was going through the defenseman.
Oh, okay.
Ludman, Talinder. Talinder?
Nope.
Ludman?
Nope.
Jay McKee?
Nope.
Kalinin?
Kalinin.
Dmitry
Kalinin.
It wasn't a formal guess.
That's fair.
Dmitry Kalinin made it to the... I didn't even hear you say Kalinin. Yeah, he ended his career with the Coyotes in 09.
All right.
And now they'll go to Salt Lake. And I guess they're going to... This has always annoyed me. You go to all time... I had to work to get those names out. Because if you go to Hockey Reference and they have their multi-franchise finder, and you put in Sabres and Coyotes. Okay, who are the players who have played for both teams? And then you get to Phil Housley and Dale Hawerchuk. Like, all the Winnipeg records are still on the Coyotes.
Right.
Not for Winnipeg. So, in a month... Timu Solani is going to be the all-time leading scorer for the Salt Lake Yeti, or the Utah Yeti. So stupid.
Fans, please welcome tonight's legend of the game, Timu Solani.
they put his jersey number in the rafters.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, will that work with Shane Doan? Does his number go?
I think so. I mean, they've got Winnipeg jerseys in Arizona, so they're about to pack them all up and like Bobby Hall's name's in the rafters in Arizona.
It is?
Yeah.
Really? Does Winnipeg also have it?
I'm pretty sure Arizona took all of the retired stuff and just, like, this is ours. And now they'll just pick it up and move it again.
That's very weird, I guess.
Do I have that right? Bobby Hull's number retired by the Coyotes? Because it's the same franchise.
It might be tough to find, because I don't know if Arizona State lets them hang banners in their college rink. So I got to find their old arena for this.
Well, just look for retired numbers. Yeah. Arizona Coyotes retired numbers.
That's what I put in. It's not coming up.
They have a Ring of Honor. Bobby Hull's on it.
Okay.
Dale Hawerchuk, Thomas Steen. Yeah.
Huh. That's dumb.
Retired and honored numbers.
Yeah, you can't. Shane Doan's number is retired, 19. But
that looks like the only number that's actually retired, though. I think the Ring of Honor guys.
Like, did they make a banner of?
Yeah. In August of 2005, Bobby Hull was signed and promptly assigned the Elder Hull's retired number. Former Jet. Oh, sorry. On August 6th, Brett Hull was signed and given Bobby Hull's number 9. He played for the Coyotes.
Brett Hull played for the Coyotes?
Yeah, I guess so. What the 1 week later, he retired.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's why I do not remember that. Hey, how signs with the Coyotes 1 week. Just this is not working. That's worse, I feel like, than not even showing up in the first place. Right? It's one thing to just like, yeah, I'm not going there. It's another thing to go there, and then a weekend you're like, this is horrible.
Or maybe he was just planning to retire. That is the Gretzky era of the Coyotes on Wikipedia. Signing Brett Hull for a week.
Gretzky, who is like one of only like three coaches that, if Don Granato comes back for next season, there's like a list of like three coaches that have ever made it to season four without making the playoffs, and Gretzky is one of them. Which almost shouldn't even count because he was like part owner.
Yeah. Enjoy the Masters this weekend, and quiet from the Sabres. No Sabres weekend.
No, but well, we got Saturday, Florida, Monday, Tampa, and then game over.
Why did I think that was next week? All right, sure. Saturday, right? Saturday afternoon,
and then Tuesday,
4:30,
and then Tuesday we find out if they did anything.
I guess
on the coaching front, and then we get end of season press conferences.
Won't we be shocked if they do? I'll be shocked.
I'll say surprised if that's different. Yeah, I'd say I would be surprised.
All right, we'll talk Monday.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.